Welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, what's in store for West Perth? Where do they go from here? And what happens to the waffle competition? Rule changes. Should there be rule trials in AFL live games? And we give you our tips for round 19, which is a really tough one.
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Glenn Quatermain, the Sunday Time sports editor with very, very, very strong opinions on a couple of key issues, folks. We're going to get Quarters' thoughts on the West Perth financial crisis, and we're also going to get his thoughts on the rule change trial, which may be looming for later in the season and which may affect Fremantle. Of course, we'll be tipping on all of the games this week, and we'll have some injury news as well. One bit, very big key player out of the Richmond-Collingwood blockbuster,
which I reckon might change a few people's tips.
Won't change mine.
Won't change mine either.
All right, Quarters. Now, as we were talking just before we came on air, and obviously the big breaking story locally yesterday was the fact that West Perth's financial issues are far worse than everybody expected. We're talking a figure north of $600,000 in debt. We're talking about the club being put into voluntary administration, with Quarter Mentha taking over the operations of the club, trying to see them through this. Significant bills to the tax department, significant bills to Venues West. What do we do about it? What's the way out of this?
Well, the way out of it is to embrace the city of Joondalup, which they had the opportunity to do before. Club's members voted against it, which was their right. They didn't see the light. Now they need to see the light.
What's that noise I hear? I hear the noise of West Perth supporters choking on their spaghetti.
Well, what I would say to them is you either want a club or you don't. And there's a simple solution to this. The West Australian Footy Commission is chipping in $250,000, so they'll see the players and the staff out, right? If you embrace the city of Joondalup now, you would get 200 plus. So you're already significantly on your way to raising that $600,000. There's in that northern corridor, there is so much growth. There is so much business. The Joondalup City Council want to embrace this footy club. Change the name. It just has to happen. It's a fact. And the sooner the members, and they're meeting tonight, and again, they can vote however they like. That's their right. But, you know, they need to see the light at the end of the tunnel. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and they need to be able to see it.
Yep.
So no more myopia. It's not the 1950s, it's not the 60s or 70s. Great era, we loved our footy clubs, but here's a chance for this club to survive.
Okay, now, on a wider basis, bigger picture, we know that Swan Districts have issues. We know that East Fremantle's issues are almost as significant as West Perth's. What does this tell us about the sustainability of the current model?
Well, there is none. There is none. The clubs will have to merge. I would think that there would be a West Perth club always. I think West Perth and Peel and probably Swans are the safest of the three, because you've got the Midlands, you've got the North, and you've got the South. They need those clubs in those areas.
Can hear more choking on spaghetti and meatballs.
So if you suggested to Subi and Claremont that they want to merge, that they'll have to merge, then I'm sure there would be a stampede. You know, East and South Fremantle is logical. And then you've got Perth and East Perth, possibly. And they, again, all mortal enemies, but it's not...
And what about West Coast and Fremantle? What happens to them?
Well, I think West Coast and Fremantle will eventually have reserves teams in the waffle. West Coast has already wants one. Fremantle, once West Coast has one, Fremantle will have one.
Yeah.
And then the only question remaining is whether the AFL, as is suggested still, it's very strong that they want to create an AFL reserves comp. So then if they pull West Coast and Freo out, you're left with six clubs. You could always create more, but I think six is a sustainable model going forward. And you'd have the Eagles and Dockers in an AFL reserve comp, if they're not in the waffle comp. I would be concerned with the reserves comp in that it then probably makes the waffle third tier.
Yeah.
And so that would concern me.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if you bring the clubs in, have some super clubs merging, it's going to be a stronger comp.
So my understanding is there have been talks between the AFL and the WA Football Commission about where this sits on their priority list, and that the WA Football Commission were assured that this was a long way down their list of priorities. In fact, so far down that it's not an issue at this point in time. What is the soonest you can envisage something like this happening?
Oh, mergers would be a long way down the track, I think. Are you talking about the June Lab?
No, I'm talking about AFL Reserves competition.
Oh.
Because that's the death knell for the Waffle as we know it.
It's not going to happen next year or the year after. I would think it would be a couple of years.
So the critical point is probably the next broadcast rights agreement, isn't it?
I would have thought so.
That is the point at which the AFL would probably go to a...
So what are we network. Talking, 20...
It's around about 2022,
yeah.
I think.
So that would be logical to consider it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are. And doing the numbers and seeing how it works. Effectively, if you're flying another 30, 40, 50 over, aren't you?
Yeah, and...
Per club.
They would need the sponsorship and support of the broadcaster to do that. I'm not sure that broadcasters make money out of footy as it stands. I think they do it to stay relevant and stop other networks from having it. But I think if you look at it just in a standalone package, I think the money paid for broadcast rights probably goes down as a loss, not a win for the broadcaster.
Yep. The other thing, Duff, is there's been a lot around about rule changes. There's been, obviously, there are 45 original suggestions, and they've narrowed them down to 12, and they'll probably introduce 6 as early as next year. I'm not sure if there will be 6 next year, but there'll certainly be, I think, the 6-6 and 6 zones will come in, so... 6 in the defence, 6 in the forward line, and you've got your wings and your midfielders.
How do you like that one?
I like it. After restarts only, though. I'm prepared to go with it after restarts.
What about stoppages?
Not stoppages yet. I just see how it goes after restarts. The thing is, it's not changing footy. It's reverting. This is how you grew up as a kid. You'd run out on the ground and run to your position.
Mm.
It's just after restarts. I just think it'll slow it down a little bit.
Yep.
And people will argue with me it won't have any effect. That's fine. Let's see it in action, which will be a point we'll talk about in a minute, how we do that. And I also think that there will be a reduction in rotations, which I am all for. I think those two things combined will help the congestion. It will help alleviate congestion. Coaches will always find a way around because coaches are there to win. But I think this will make it more difficult for them, and I want to see it in action. I don't want to see it in action in AFL live games. I think that's a horrible idea.
This is the trial.
Well, if you trial, the suggestion is Freo Carlton round 21, Gold Coast Brisbane round 22, Carlton Western Bulldogs round 22, St Kilda North Melbourne round 23. Last time I checked, I thought North was still in a chance of playing final.
I thought it was the Q Clash was the third one.
Gold Coast Brisbane round 22. It was just a suggestion. It could be Carlton Western Bulldogs round 22 and St Kilda North 23, Carlton Adelaide round 23. Well,
my understanding was that. Three games.
Yep.
Freo Carlton, St Kilda Bulldogs, Gold Coast Brisbane.
These were the games that were initially suggested, but yeah. I think it'll only be three.
Yeah.
I just think we either trial it, and we're told that the state competitions are queuing up to trial these things,
yep.
Which is actually a good thing that the Western Australian Football League is, because I don't think, I might be wrong here, Duff, but I don't think they're under any obligation to implement these rule changes next year should they come into the AFL.
No.
We see now in South Australia there's different rules in the AFL to the SANFL.
Yeah.
But I think they probably, this indicates they probably would if they're going to trial them. I like the idea more than I do of AFL live games. I just think it absolutely compromises the Coleman Medal and the Brownlow Medal, and I just don't like it, and it compromises the draft as well. Don't like it.
The Coleman Medal's a great point because it changes the way the ball will be moved, and it will change. I've got no doubt it will change the value of forwards.
No question.
I've got no doubt. Like, you look at the draft order as we look at it at the moment. And I think the top five is probably something like Sam Walsh, Lucosius from South Australia, Isaac Rankin from South Australia, and the King twins from Victoria. Now, the King twins and Lucosius are the tall players in that five.
They're King all... twins sounds ominous, doesn't it? Sounds like something you'd bump into in East London on a dark night. Oh, like, here come the King twins.
It's like Charlie Chan and the Chan clan, the King twins. So if these rules were trialled and we found out that, oh, geez, Buddy Franklin's gone and kicked 11.
Or Ben Brown.
Or Ben Brown or something like that, you know, or who would be playing in those games? So,
well, Ben Brown possibly.
So Hipwood, let's say Hipwood, Peter Wright from the Gold Coast.
Yep.
Geez, I tell you what, if Freo bobbed up with someone who kicked 11, you'd know they work.
Yeah. That's right.
Because they do
struggle.
And probably I think we would need to say the same thing about Carlton, because Carlton, as far as their scoring potential goes, they're in dire straits. You know, Josh Shackey at the Western Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paddy McCartan's gone for the year now, so he wouldn't be a consideration. But these sort of players, if these players suddenly became dominant players, then I reckon the draft order would be significantly shuffled.
I would love to see a centre bounce or a throw up. And that's another point with the bounce. Every quarter should start with a bounce and that's it. But imagine that quick clearance, long bomb into the forward line and a full forward and a full back, one out. Beautiful. Don't you reckon? It's nothing better. Rather than 50,000 people at their feet, like a Cape Cuvier feeding frenzy.
I agree. And look, and what it does, it would highlight more the talent of the great players. Like imagine Dusty Martin or Jordan Dugowie, who's a name we'll get to later in the podcast for reasons which will become obvious. Nathan Fyfe, Patrick Dangerfield. If you're still going around, Gary Ablett Jr.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Fyfe and Dangerfield one out all day. I'm not going to watch five against five blokes all day.
Yeah,
I just think, and it's probably not going to work that way with the midfield, but probably a bad example. But certainly your key forwards, and that's something you'll go to watch and love. And it won't. There'll still be players pressing back because this is only from restarts. But if they introduce it after stoppages, it could be very interesting. Let's go with that initially.
Yep.
And let's trial them in state leagues and other competitions and not the AFL.
So the problem with that, Quarters, is that when do you trial it in the state leagues? Is it at the end of this season?
So and it will compromise games at the end of this year as well.
Okay, but
I'm prepared to go down that line, though.
You are?
You've got to, and this is not belittling the state league. I just think you have to try it at a reasonable level.
Yeah.
And that's the best level here. That's the second tier. So I think you have to.
Imagine if it made it locally. I'm listening and I can hear the howling from Subiaco.
Yep.
Imagine if it changed the competitiveness against Subiaco by other teams. Like if it turned out that Subiaco weren't as good a team.
You're only trialling it in a couple of home and away games at the end of the year, though, not in the finals.
Oh, bugger. It's a more interesting story.
I know. there's a good argument. There's a good argument too. I'm more of the bring it in next year.
Yep.
But there is a good argument to say let's bet it down in all state leagues next year. And let's have some data that will run over 12 months that will enable us to have a really good look at what it's done for the comp.
And you know what the control freaks at the AFL clubs will say? You can't do that because that means our players that are running around in the state leagues aren't properly prepared to play under the rules we're playing when they come and play AFL.
Well, you can't have it both ways.
All words to that effect.
You can't have it both ways. I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll bring it in. I think it'll be announced. Steve Hocking's very bullish on it. By the way, I think it's great. And there is dialogue out there and everyone's got their opinion. That's a good thing, last time I checked, that
Absolutely.
People can have differing opinions. Isn't that what living in a democracy is all about?
One thing that Gillon McLachlan sometimes does.
Oh, yeah.
He does throw something up the flagpole.
Oh, yeah, he did it yesterday.
Test the reaction.
Oh, yeah.
See whether it's going to be a pro or a con.
Yeah.
And then they either pull it back down the flagpole or they wheel it out. So it'll be interesting to see how they have gauged the reaction based on
the flag flew and there was people gathering around it, I can tell you yesterday.
Did it end up with bullet holes in it?
There were a couple. It looked like the Eureka Stockade flag at the end. Bits missing and anyway. We probably should get onto some tips.
Let's do it, Quarters.
Friday night, Essendon v Sydney, and this is a really, really tough round to pick. Essendon, Sydney. Sydney a loss to Gold Coast last week that basically people think they're gone now. I'm not prepared to say that yet. I'm going to pick him this week.
Just, mate, you're like a cockroach with Sydney, aren't you? You just keep on crawling back on board.
I'll give you one stat. Buddy goes nuts. His record after he's been held goalless, as he was last week, he goes nuts the following week. And his record against Essendon, 68 goals in 15 games. He likes playing against Essendon, buddy.
And this, am I right in saying this is Etihad?
This is Etihad Stadium.
And they actually play, they're right now, they're probably playing better at Etihad.
I reckon they've won eight of their last 10. Actually, probably more. It's probably further north than that. They've got a great record there. Essendon going okay. Do beat up on teams below them well. Yeah. Fantasia found some form last week. I'm prepared to keep my faith in Sydney at least for one more week. I'm going to pick them to win this one.
Okay. I have less faith in Sydney than you, but I think I've got enough faith in them to pick them against Essendon.
Does McKernan's exit too from Essendon is a
big
out?
Yeah, that hurts. Fantasia's a great in for Essendon. Kicked five against Fremantle last week. His pace, his ability to apply pressure, and his ability to finish. He's a great finisher. You know, you get those scurrying small forwards like a Castagna or even Hayden Ballantyne now. They often lose their radar and they don't finish the goals. Fantasia finishes.
He's great name, player. Great headline name too.
Orazio.
Fantasia. So we're both on Sydney?
We're on Sydney.
Saturday, MCG, Richmond v Collingwood.
Okay, you're the newsbreaker, come on. Actually, I'm the newsbreaker, so I'll let you do it.
I'm sorry, Collingwood fans. So Dugowie is out for a minimum of two with bone stress in his lower leg. So that's bad news for the Pies, but probably good news if you're betting him in for a September campaign ahead. So I would suggest I'm going to pick the Tigers here. I'm not prepared to. I think it's 17 in a row should they win it, which passes Melbourne's record.
At the MCG?
At the MCG. Got Collingwood by 43 points in round six, and if my memory serves me correct, it was a pretty even game and it just blew out at the end. Mm. Collingwood going along nicely, had that hiccup against West Coast, against a very good West Coast, and smashed North last week. So they'll give a really good account of themselves with that forward line that just it's just very deep and multi-pronged. But Richmond not doing a lot wrong. Won 22 of their last 24, actually, at the MCG, so great record. I reckon Collingwood should lose this too. I reckon lose by about three or four goals. You can only beat them once this year, I reckon, and beat them on GF Day.
The old beat them once theory. Yeah. All right, I'm going to tip Richmond, and I think the loss of Dugowie doesn't change that. My concern with the Dugowie thing is that when they say, you know, that sort of like stress reaction, the hot spot, whatever it is, often they go the 2 weeks and then they realise this hasn't resolved itself, you're gone. So there'll be some tenterhooks, I reckon, for Collingwood over the next fortnight because Dugowie is, I think now, their most important player.
He is and he isn't. I think the player that they can least afford to lose actually is Mason Cox. Because while you've got this multi-pronged forward line, they can probably cover as good as Dugowie is.
He gives them structure. Cox.
He gives them structure. And yeah. I just think that they noticed that against the Eagles.
Yeah.
And I think he's the one they can least afford to lead. He's the, if you look up and everyone's covered, there's always Mason Cox. So I think that's he'd be a bigger loss. Anyway.
Good call. And we're both on Richmond.
We are. Geelong.
90,000 there too.
Well, yeah. Ticket. So it is a sellout. But it's interesting the MCC saying that because of the reserve seating, a lot of people don't show. So it's really, really tough to get 100,000 there now.
And I would say that of the teams that have a lot of MCC memberships, I would think that the Ferrells of Richmond and Collingwood, Glenn, may not be that well represented in amongst that group.
No, there might be a few at the World Club, I think.
Yes.
Geelong v Brisbane at the Gabba. At GMHBA. Geelong, just an enigma this year, really. What a terrific last quarter last week to come over the top of Melbourne. Hawkins has found some real form. That's going to be really interesting alone to see perhaps the Josh Walker, who performed one part of the two marks of the year within 30 seconds last week.
Yes.
Whether he goes to his old mate Hawkins, being a former Geelong boy himself, Josh Walker. Harris Andrews back. That's a big one. They reckon he's back this week, so that's 5-6 weeks now, I think.
Yep.
It was a pretty severe concussion, so he's a big in for them. We all know how well the youth of Brisbane's going, and the footy they're playing is magic.
Yep.
And there's even an argument out there that why change the rules? Just have a look at this team. Everyone play like them, and they'll be, you know, this is what pure footy is all about, and they are great to watch Brisbane.
The problem is not everyone does play like them.
No, that's right, and I think we'll see a bit of a, you know, they'll have to play it on Geelong's terms, on that long, skinny Cadinia Park ground. I think Geelong will win it, but they'll have a battle on their hands.
Geelong for me, I'm with you.
GWS v St Kilda at Spotless Stadium, won 6 of their last 7 GWS. You look at the two teams, you look at, you know, Kelly Green, Deledio back in there now, and you look at the GWS midfield, and you look at St Kilda, and apart from Gresham and Membry, you wonder where their goals are coming from. And the only thing that would work in their favour, St Kilda, is 6-day break on the road, the GWS, but they'll win this, I think, reasonably comfortably and keep that push going for a flag, perhaps.
It's interesting you talk about the 6-day break, because I think the 6-day break does throw up some anomaly results, so that will be, yeah, be worth watching that one. Of course, the Saints played on the Friday night, so they'll be a bit fresher.
And it's been okay. And the thing is, what did we say last week about Sydney Gold Coast at the SCG?
Yeah, I've got a story to tell you about that when we get to that. But I'm tipping GWS to climb closer to the top four.
Well, you can tell me now, because Gold Coast v Carlton at Metricon Stadium, 3 games ahead of the Blues now, Gold Coast. And Carlton, just, you know, things go from bad for worse. It was a shocking loss to Hawthorn last week. And then Zach Fisher is out. Liam Jones has got a knee issue, so further injuries to them. And Gold Coast, what a great performance to beat Sydney at the SCG without 5-6 of their better players.
And a real chance to get something out of the back end of the season and maybe get some momentum going into next season.
150th game to Harbrow too. Congratulations.
And he's been one of their guys who turns up every week and plays, Jared Harbrow.
Yep.
So we've had Tamsin Cook, the Olympic swimmer.
What a lovely girl. We have had her in the sports department, yes.
Yes, so she's been doing work experience. She's been coming in for one day a week. And I asked her to help me with my tips last week. So I'm going through the games game by game. Clearly, Tamsin pays more attention to swimming than football. And we got to
She's pretty good at it too. Silver medalist, Olympian.
Silver medalist, anchored the 4x200 metre.
And her leg was against the gun.
What's her name? The American girl.
Yeah, we're going well this week. We've got the British Open winner on Monday, and now we're
Francisco Molinari.
That's it. Sorry, Francisco. We should not have forgotten you. It
sounds like some sort of spaghetti sauce, really. It does. Molinari. I'll have a spaghetti Molinari.
Exactly.
Certainly deserved his win.
He did.
Katie Ledecky, the gun from the United States. So Tamsin Cook. Anyway, I'm reading through game by game, and Tamsin's battling a bit and coming up with some interesting tips. And I said to her, what about Gold Coast v Sydney in Sydney? And I thought, well, she's going to know this one. And she goes, oh, I reckon I'll tip Gold Coast. And I've gone, look, Tamsin, we're tipping Sydney in this one. Tamsin was right.
Yeah, that's right. And if I had to tip it this week, I'd tip Sydney as well.
Yes, definitely.
I assume we're both tipping Gold Coast for that one.
We are.
Adelaide v Melbourne, Adelaide Oval. Wow. I want to see something from Melbourne here. And Adelaide running into some really, really strong form. Taylor Walker's back. Looking forward to Jacobs v Gorn in this game. The last time they met was in Alice. Melbourne had that massive win in that horrible game. It was pretty hard to watch that one in round 10. Jordan Lewis's 300th game, and we should acknowledge the great career of Jordan Lewis and has played some reasonable footy from Melbourne. There's a lot of spec about whether he should go on.
So how many more does he get, do you reckon? And we all, like, without putting too much on one play.
I reckon he'll play next year.
Do you?
Mm.
I reckon that would be a mistake for Melbourne.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that one, but I think he will. I've got that gut feeling that he's going to play another year. Has been a great servant of the game.
Absolutely.
Has been a great servant for Melbourne as well the last couple of years.
Magnificent servant
for
Hawthorn.
A great servant for Hawthorn. Put his body on the line. One of the more courageous players we've seen. So anyway, 300th game for him. Congratulations. I'm going to go out on a limb here and pick Melbourne in Adelaide.
Melbourne in Adelaide.
Need to win this. They really need to win. I know Adelaide's got the 8 in their sights still, but I just think it's a bit of a bridge too far for them. And I just think this is a Melbourne, after that last quarter last week, they've gone okay over in Adelaide in the past. I just think I'm going with it.
I'm going to go with the home team. I got torched last week putting my faith in the D's. I thought the D's were magnificent for three quarters. But they still should be asking themselves how they blew a 5-goal lead in the last I'm just a little bit – I've still got some hope for Melbourne. I just don't have a lot of trust.
Yeah, it's a long-term thing for Melbourne. It was a shocking last quarter, unforgivable last quarter, but that game's gone. You've got to move on and learn from it. I think there's the interesting thing about Melbourne will be Oliver, because there are doubts over his fitness this week. He's so important to them.
Well, if he doesn't play, they can't win.
Well, Riley Knight will get him if he plays, but yeah, that's right. So if he doesn't play, it might be one of those games that I say, oh, late withdrawal, Oliver. Oh, okay. I got that
one right. That's when you text me and it's like a sort of like unprintable text.
Oh dear. Or O-D-O, oh dear overload. you're Adelaide, I'm Melbourne. Sunday on Hobart, North Melbourne v West Coast. Look, I'm tipping West Coast here. I'm concerned for them, though, because of the journey that it is. Mm-hmm. It's down in Tassie. It's bloody cold, bloody windy. Beautiful place, though. I'm not selling it very well, am I?
No, you're not.
I think they've won 8 of their last 10 against the Roos. The Eagles going beautifully. Don't want to. They're very much in the mix for that. Well, top two is what they want,
yep. And
probably what they'll get. Top two, two home finals, grand final. So if you win them, so that's what they're aiming for. A lot to like about the Eagles and North Melbourne, as we know, had a good year and a very very strong record in Hobart. So they like the ground. The Eagles forward line that we love so much, Kennedy, Darling, Lacroix, you'd probably chuck Vardy in there a bit. They're playing against a pretty good defence here.
Yep.
North Melbourne, Tarrant Thompson, Jamie McMillan. So we'll see how that goes. But I think the Eagles will win by 2 or 3 and be a really tough grind.
I'm going to tip, I think this is a genuine 50-50 game. I will not be in the least surprised if North Melbourne gets up here. I just think West Coast have, for the most part, earned our trust, yeah. I think, this.
And they've still, if they drop it, it's not an out, but you could forgive them for dropping that game. They're a bigger picture ahead. But I just think they're going well enough to be able to cover what is a really difficult challenge going down there.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it'll be really close, and I think it could go either way, but I'm gonna go with West Coast, because I'll be really ticked off if I tip North based on the venue and West Coast get over them. So I'll go with the Eagles.
Speaking of cold, windy, horrible places, Ballarat. Actually, it's an Indigenous word, Ballarat.
You know, it's like just automatically shivered as a result.
Ballarat actually means, when you split it up, it's Ballarat, and it means hole in the ground. True. And if you look at Ballarat, it is a hole in the ground. When you drive in, that's why there's the big TV aerials everywhere, because their reception's crap.
There's an obvious follow-up to that, and I'm going to resist it, because there may be people from Ballarat.
Oh, it's a good city. Go and pan for gold at Sovereign Hill. And it's a great city. Anyway,
There's none left, you can go and pan for gold.
Clash of the traditional rivals in Ballarat, Western Bulldogs v Port Adelaide. The Bont returns, I think, for his 100th game. Port Adelaide really concerned me with that rider. But I am told that he's expected back sooner rather than later, which is good news, because it didn't look good when he went down. So maybe another 2 weeks. I do, however, believe that what's at stake is pretty important, and I'm prepared to back them to win this game, albeit they're not in great form, but I think they'll get over the Dogs here.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Port Adelaide, and I'm probably using the same logic as you, Quarters, the more at stake theory, that basically the Doggies are looking for experience in their young players, and some of them are probably looking for the end of the season. Port Adelaide have to win to stay relevant.
So it's either the home ground theory or the more at stake theory that comes into play at this time of year.
Who's more at home on Mars?
Exactly. Yes, Mars Stadium. Finally, the clash of the two great teams, Duff. We might have to have a little side bet on this one. Freo v Hawthorn at Optus on Sunday.
Mate, if we'd been having side bets on Fremantle Hawthorn games, I'd have no money left.
I'd be well ahead, yeah.
Yes, you would.
But
not many of them get played over here, it must be said.
No, they don't. I'm going to back the Hawks. It is a 50-50 for me over here. Freo, significantly better side over here. Concerns still over Hawthorn. I believe they're getting Burgoyne and O'Meara back. Big McAvoy's still out, which is significant. Now, I think Sandy's still away off of Freo.
Sandy, based on what I saw at training yesterday, Sandy wasn't doing a hell of a lot.
And Darcy?
Darcy was He was more in the main group than Sandy,
yep.
But there may be some doubt about
him.
So
that could be, the ruck could play a significant part, but I think it'll basically balance itself out here.
Yep.
I think Banfield can expect a long day ahead, perhaps a good day ahead. We'll see what happens against Tom Mitchell.
So you reckon Mitchell, not O'Meara?
Or Smith is the other one who could be tagged. Isaac Smith, who Carlton had a crack at last week, rather than Mitchell. It's an interesting one.
That worked well.
Yeah, 46. But interestingly, 46 and 9 tackles, Mitchell.
And 2 goals.
Not a bad game, actually.
And 2 goals.
So I would expect Mitchell to be tagged. I could be wrong. But Isaac Smith wouldn't surprise me. And I think it'll be out of those two, to be honest. O'Meara's built into some good form. Had was rested last week. I'm not sure he's yet as damaging as the other two, that's all. So I'm going to tip the Hawks. But it's a 50-50.
Hawthorn, lot to play for. Obviously, race for the 8. Can't afford to drop games like this.
Frio. First game at Optus, too, which will be interesting. It's not a shape that will really affect their game style too much, though.
I wouldn't have thought so. I'll go the Hawks, but I'm a bit like, on this one, I'm a bit like I was with North Melbourne, West Coast. This is very much 50-50. And probably what I would be saying is Hawthorn will not play finals if they drop games
like this.
And I think Hawthorn wants to play finals, and Frio, while, you know, Ross Lyon, incredibly competitive coach, wants to win every time he takes the field.
And so does the bloke on the other side of it too, Clarke.
Yeah, but again, they're playing for finals.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Their competitive urge is absolutely automatic. I think that may get them across the line.
It must be a different experience now coming to Perth for the first time, because it is an amazing stadium.
Yep.
I was there on Monday night for Chelsea, and it was an amazing atmosphere. But for AFL games, it's something else.
Yeah.
And it must be. They'll know they've travelled, the Hawks, when they get here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. No. So fascinating round of fixtures. A lot of difficult ones in their quarters.
How'd you go last week?
I think I was 6.
Yeah, I was 6. I'll take it this time.
I think it was a pretty honourable 6.
Yeah, I think so.
I claimed some sort of moral victory out of Melbourne Geelong. Mm-hmm. And I thought Brisbane gave me a run for my money, even though they got beat by
same. I picked them as well. I feel like they say, you know, the AFL players at this point of the year are, you know, a bit bruised and battered and just struggling from 1 week to. I feel like that as a tipster.
It's always better if you win the Friday night one.
Oh, it's great.
It's a horrible Saturday morning if you've blown your Friday night.
Oh, yeah, because you know what's ahead.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, I'm having a horrible weekend here. Yeah. And what about when you get the Thursday and the Friday both wrong?
We've got a strong sense of perspective, haven't we? There's wars out there. There's all sorts of disease. But no, it's all about that.
You should have seen the two Collingwood blokes I just told, colleagues in the office, that De Goey was out.
Yes.
I said to him, "Hey, boys, I haven't told you you've got a day to live."
Yes.
It's okay.
They got up and De Goey, got up and De Winty.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to be back on Tuesday with a full wrap of the round and the implications for everything in the top 8. Hopefully, we'll have more information on whether we're going to have rule trials before the end of the season. We'll be back, brought to you by Tab Touch then. Good luck with your tipping.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.